So I am glad that you could make it to my podcast this week. Always a pleasure having you on.
Well, I know it seems like if it's not one, it's the other, right? So I have dusted off a couple of, well, one extra jingle to make this all worthwhile.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening from wherever you are joining us. And welcome to the Host Unknown podcast.
Welcome to Andy's podcast featuring members from Host Unknown.
You know, you have missed some yourself, you know. And by the way, episode 128.
Oh, 132.
It's like having a parrot on the show. It's great. You just press the buttons and they're off they go. So we are javless today. We are,
yeah.
Well, we're distinctly, we have distinctly less hair.
I was about to say, we're definitely hair-free.
Hair-free. Hair-free, carefree. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, is Jav still, he's in Florida, isn't he still?
Yes, he is down to Miami now.
Right.
Where
interesting.
Sort of, yeah,
how he goes out the week before the midterms. Florida, you know, goes very, very Republican, despite everything that's happened. And now he's flying back. You know, I'm just saying. I'm asking the questions. Yeah. That's all.
Mission accomplished.
Exactly.
He sort of. I think he buys into a lot of the Miami. You know, it's severe weather warnings. There's no one around.
It's
literally what we call autumn in the UK.
Yeah.
It's, you know, those videos he sent, it's a bit of rain. So what? Get over it, man.
That's right.
I could do the same.
Yeah. I could do the same just out my hotel window now.
Yeah.
I'm recording this with you remotely from a hotel. I'm using my fairly new travel rig to try and get over sound problems whilst I'm on the road, because I'm traveling most weeks at the moment. So hopefully this one won't sound quite so bad.
And the quality is much better to, you know, what we're used to when one of us is not in our preferred location.
Well, exactly. In fact, it's much better with Jav not here generally. I mean, he records from his garage, which is kind of like hard surfaces everywhere. I don't get it. It's like, he does sound like he's recording from the sweat box in a US prison movie.
And if you ever miss any of what Jav talks about, you can see it on TikTok 2 days later.
Yeah.
Because he's that lazy. He just regurgitates it.
And if you can't wait 2 days, just wait until the following day for the Eric and Jav show or whatever. The Jerick show, that's right.
The Jerick show.
The Jerick show, yeah. You can just watch it there. I mean, we've done it. We've done the Jerick show straight after we've done one of these, right? And it is the same stories.
Yeah, literally. He copies and pastes, listens to what we talk about, and then just, claims your credit for his ideas. Anything you think sounds good.
I know. We know other podcasts that do that as well. But moving swiftly, Andy, how's your week been?
It's been good. It's been busy. I think I've passed my 6-month probation at the new job.
Your pass still lets you in the building.
Exactly that, right? No one said anything. To be fair, my boss is traveling. She's in, traveling around Asia this week. But yeah, and she'll be in Africa next week, so I'm still not going to see her. But my pass still works. So, you know, either the JML process isn't working or I have passed my probation.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm counting it as a win.
Exactly. Although 6 months is a long probation.
They really weren't sure about me.
I was going to say, were they really taking that much of a chance?
Yeah. No, it is. I thought it was long probation as well. But no, fortunately, I did check. I'm not the only one that was on a 6-month probation.
Phew.
Everyone else with a criminal record is as well.
Oh, dear. Jacking those cars as a teenager was never a good idea. Oh, no.
So how's your week been?
Yeah, good. Good, very good. So what have I been up to? I wasn't here last week, was I? Was that? I think the week before that, on the weekend, I'd just gone to Comic Con, with my daughter, which was really good fun.
You went as Captain Underpants, didn't you?
That's what I threatened to go as, yeah. And then she saw me. Have you not got your, you know, wearing your outfit? I said, it's on underneath everything. Don't worry. It was
tidy whiteys out.
It was really good. Took a few photos. That was nice.
I saw, yeah, there's some good ones. That Buzz Lightyear was particularly impressive.
It was. There are some amazing costumes there. Like, oh my God, how these things are made at home, I don't know. But it was a good laugh. Bought some, you know, posters and Christmas presents and stuff like that, and some signed copies of books. It was really good. This week, like you, busy. I did a webinar earlier in the week. I'm in the middle of arranging a small sort of conference forum-y thing for work, which is going to be week after next, and trying to throw some proper work in there in between, but very busy. But in London this week, I'm only up one day next week, and then I'm in most weeks for the next couple of 3 weeks, actually. So busy. So this travel rig is going to get some use.
Yeah, I do you know what? When I was looking through some stories earlier, I think that we, oh, not that I think, I know we have missed IrisCon.
Don't. IrisCon yesterday, B-Sides Delhi today.
No, it came around quickly, didn't it? I always thought IrisCon towards the end of the month.
Yeah, it's November at some point, isn't it? Mind you, we're halfway through. Yeah. But yeah, I was invited to B-Sides. I was trying to get my visa, applied for a conference visa, because that's what you're supposed to do. And I didn't have the right paperwork for it. And by the time that was discovered, there was no time to get another appointment because the appointments are literally fully booked for a couple of months at a time. So, missed it. Absolutely gutted, like I say. And it kicked off this morning. After IrisCon yesterday and missing that and then missing B-Sides Delhi today, I'm rather upset. All geared up to go.
Alas, but we won't let the mood bring everyone down.
No. Right. That's right. Yeah. You can tell when Jav's on the show because all you get is this sort of outpouring of breath in the long. So.
I hate you guys.
Yeah, that's right. That's all he says. It's like every other sentence. The amount of editing it takes when he's on the show, it's dreadful. All right, shall we see what we've got coming up for you today? This week in InfoSec talks about rebranding. Rant of the week is a look at the shit show going on over at Twitter HQ. Billy Big Balls is something we're on the fence about. Industry News brings the latest and greatest security news stories from around the world, and Tweet of the Week will be us, i.e. Andy, trying to verbally explain a visual meme. Excellent. So let's move on, shall we, to our favourite part of the show, the part of the show that we like to call...
This Week in InfoSec.
It is that part of the show where we take a stroll down InfoSec memory lane with content liberated from the Today in InfoSec Twitter account and further afield. And as there is only two of us this week, I shall rush through so we can get straight to the main content. This is more of the canapes which come around before the main show, right? But this is
the crudities. The bumbly toilets. Yeah. The bummery toilets.
So, as you know, I do that lead up so I can mentally work out in my head the amount of years between the date and the story. So our first story takes
still using a calculator.
Takes us back a mere 17 years to the 4th of November 2005 when Microsoft anti-spyware was renamed Windows Defender. Now, at the time, you probably remember, you'd get that sort of little icon which came up in the bottom right-hand corner of your, your XP machine or your 2000 and going on from that. It looked like a little castle or like a brick wall.
That's right, yeah.
And you know, everyone's like, "This is rubbish," right? You know, it's never going to replace anti-malware because it was purely about spyware, right? It wasn't. it didn't seem that great at the time. Do you know what I mean?
It seemed very narrow in focus, didn't it?
Yeah, but you know, I mentioned this because obviously it did rebrand, say 17 years ago. But today, Windows Defender is actually a pretty decent agent. I am a convert to it. Having understood the capabilities it's got. You know, it can do your anti-malware, your anti-spyware.
Yeah.
It can do your web reputation protection, defending going to websites. You can actually do categorization blocking.
Yeah, all part of the M365 stack, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic.
It's definitely in the top three up there of, you know, EPP and EDR and potentially even XDR as well.
Yeah, with all, and that's it, like the data it's got, like, you know, knows what patches are missing, for your machine. That's centralized reporting. And if you run in a Microsoft environment anyway, dare I say the phrase single pane of glass, but you have a lot of data in a single portal.
Yes.
A lot of usable data as well. So, yeah, it's like I say, back in 17 years ago, would not have expected this to have been a product that survived.
I logged onto my Microsoft account, my personal Microsoft account the other day, and there is still a license in there for Windows, was it Defender? It might have been when it rebranded as Defender as like a beta user. So I got a lifetime free, license for it. Of course, you don't need it anymore because it's all just built in, right? You don't get a separate licensing for it per se. But yeah, it's still there in my account. It's still wait, you know. So it's funny that this should come up right now.
Yeah, no, and also, yeah, if you have a subscription to Office 365, you can obviously make use of it, play about with it.
Yeah, yeah. If you can work out the Azure portal.
Yeah, I mean, that's another. They keep renaming parts of that as well. So that's another story altogether. However, right, so yeah, so our second story takes us back a mere 29 years to the 5th of November 1993 when the BugTrack mailing list was created by Scott Chassin. So in 1995, it actually became the property of Security Focus. And then in 2002, Symantec acquired Security Focus, and the last message posted to the list was as recently as February 25th, 2020. And there was no explanation from Symantec in terms of why it stopped. But back in the day, so back in 1993, this is where you got your vulnerability information from. There was no websites with fancy logos. There was no sort of push notifications. There was no sort of balloons that popped up proactively on your desktop saying, hey, you need to install these patches. You had to subscribe to this mailing list and people would post issues with software to this mailing list. This was the thing. If you were a sysadmin, you were subscribed to this. It had back in 95, had 2,500 subscribers, had over 40,000 by February 2000.
Wow.
It's like back then, it was huge, absolutely huge. And then obviously the usual controversy with, any sort of vulnerability disclosure is the fact that it went to everyone. Someone posted some credit card information and, so they started moderating it as of 96. I think it was so someone then actually sat down and moderated all the content before it went out. The internet grew, email became less of the, I guess, the most effective way of delivering this information. Symantec, although they didn't, give any information about why, they stopped doing it, there were rumors about it just being very difficult to moderate.
I mean, it wasn't a commercial medium, wasn't it? Was it? It was
entirely
free. So it was, run by, not even volunteers, but people who were passionate about this. Although, back in 96, I mean, or 95 or whatever, it was, 93, there's probably only like seven vulnerabilities in popular usage anyway. But it does go to show quite how things like this start from people just being passionate about wanting to do the right thing.
Yeah. And remember, it wasn't even sort of platform specific either. You know, so it wasn't like you subscribe here for all your Microsoft vulnerabilities or your Linux or your BSD.
It was everything.
Everything, yeah.
And it still fitted on one page of A4.
Yeah, plain text.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. No, but yeah, if you're a fan of ASCII art, then it's probably because you used to subscribe to mailing lists that included them.
God, ASCII art. I remember that. I remember trying to convert images to ASCII art and, you know, to try and look like I was clever and shit like that. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I'll just generally copy it from one person's email to someone else's.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it came down to. I remember trying to do an ASCII art email footer once and just gave up. It was just so painful. The formatting was always screwed up. And I was like, oh, God, I think I'll just wait until I become a manager and get someone else to do it. Excellent. Well, thank you, Andy. That was this week's.
This week in InfoSec.
Are you ready? Here it comes.
You're listening to the Host Unknown podcast with your award-winning hosts, Tom and Andy, and insert name here.
Finally used it. I think that's the first time we've used that one. Right, shall we move on to this week's...
Listen up! Rant of the week. It's time to motherfucking rage!
So unless you have been living under a rock for the last, year really, but in reality the last sort of week or two, or you were already on Mastodon, you will know that there's just a few little problems going on at Twitter.
A
few changes since our Lord and Saviour Elon Musk went in. Bought out Twitter for $44 billion. God, someone's going on holiday, I tell you. $44 billion. And then just went on what seemed like an executive rampage would be the only way I could put it. Pretty much, apparently he was doing things like demanding to review lines of code with people.
Yeah.
Getting stats on the amount of lines of code that people have written and using that as a performance statistic, all that sort of stuff. Then massive layoffs, something like 50% of the workforce was laid off. Although apparently they're now trying to entice some of them back because they realise they might have got rid of some of the ones they need.
Some of the good ones.
Some of the good ones. Yeah, funny that, isn't it? A raft of resignations, a raft of changes that make no sense whatsoever, included on online spats between Musk and various celebs and anybody else who he deems, you know, worthy of chatting to about charging for the platform, and then all summed up in a scheme that is so rapidly rolled out that it changes hour by hour, that has resulted in a vast amount of criminality and theft. It just beggars belief. So, for instance, not only has the CISO left, Leah Kistner, the CISO left, but the chief privacy officer has left. Isn't there someone of data ethics also left?
Yeah, the chief compliance officer.
Chief compliance officer. Yeah.
She also
They've
left.
All left, literally just resigned and gone. That's right. He's come in and said that Twitter, which is in its employee handbooks and all that sort of thing, saying it's a remote first organization, has come in and said everybody now needs to work from home, and if you want to work from home you can resign.
Everyone needs to work from the office, you mean? Yeah,
40 or more hours a week from the office from now on. I love the 40 or more. When asked how that we're going to deal with, you know, how we're going to deal with, you know, all these challenges that have been self-made, I can't remember the phrase he used, but basically he said we just have to man up. we just have to, you know, knuckle down and get on with it, which is not very helpful. he then tells everybody that, you know, well, you know, Twitter may go bankrupt, but don't worry, I've sold a whole bunch of Tesla stock to try and shore it up. So, you know, you can thank me later. It's just,
it's a complete shit show.
The share price has tanked. Ad revenue has tanked. Unsurprisingly, and I think this this does make me laugh, all of the major car manufacturers have dropped their advertising on Twitter. Funny that.
Yeah.
the blue badge scam thing. So, God, now, first of all, he wanted to charge $20. Stephen King picked him up on that. This is the blue badge, the much coveted, you only get one if you're given one, blue badge, and you have to justify your existence, you know, and prove who you are. Now anybody can get one for $8 after he had a little spat
bargain.
With Stephen
Absolute
King.
Absolute bargain, that price.
You know.
Have you got one yet?
No, I haven't. And I believe Cluley's trying to work out how to get rid of his, so he doesn't look like he's paid $8.
And so I think this is part of where some of these scams have come up this week, right? So you made this massive change. You got the people responsible for compliance, security, and, you know, that type of, you know, corporate governance stuff. They've actually quit. And then, you know, you spend... Every industry spent, or every sort of social media platform spent all this time teaching users that a verified account means something, right?
Yep.
And that's the problem. Now anyone can be verified.
And that also means that Twitter itself was impersonated and prompting people to basically follow this link and pay your $8 and you'll get your blue badge. And that's resulted in thousands and thousands of dollars being stolen from people. There's something in here about self-certifying compliance. Now that there is effectively no compliance team whatsoever, the engineers have been told that they have to self-certify themselves with any FTC standards that are handed out, which in itself is laughable. They're obviously, you know, in all of their standards, etc., says about, you know, running a, you know, an effective and well-maintained information security plan. Well, they're obviously not doing any of that. You know, it's
you are speechless, aren't you, on this one?
It's how can somebody come in? The only thing I can think of is that he's a shareholder of Mastodon.
Yeah, he's laundering money, right? He needs to burn money quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I don't understand how it can come in and make all this. Oh, and he said he's always been saying that, you know, when I'm in charge of Twitter, you know, comedy will not be banned. And he's effectively banned and blocked anybody who's impersonated him in the name of comedy. do you know what this reminds me? Of the first few months of the Trump presidency.
Oh, the executive orders.
Executive orders and appointment of cronies and, you know, all of the weird, you know, self-aggrandizing shit that was going on. That's this, you know. And I don't know about you, Andy. I mean, I know you're not massively active on the social medias apart from TikTok.
Indeed.
But, you know, I'm still on there, but even me, the laziest man in the world, is considering, you know, moving on from Twitter to that hellhole called Mastodon, which has been described as like a bunch of Minecraft servers with portals between each server, which immediately just fills me with dread.
So I actually have a Mastodon account. I signed up, God knows how long ago,
back when it was cool.
No, back when the first sort of everyone's going to jump ship from Twitter occurred.
Mm.
And I can't remember what sparked that. There was something that sparked that and everyone sort of said, oh, Mastodon, let's go. Oh, privacy. I think it was the privacy issue. Right. But actually, I think it's going to be like Facebook, though. Like, you know, lots of people want to jump ship, but there's just nothing better.
No, that's right.
Or, you know, usability is not there with everyone else.
Although, let's not finish on Twitter. What about Facebook? You've just let go 11,000 people.
Yeah.
With Mark Zuckerberg saying that, you know,
running too fast.
was it? No, running Facebook is quite upsetting because people are always angry at him. You know, well, perhaps you know, try and pretend to be a slightly more normal human being then, Mark. Although, to give credit where it's due, the Facebook severance packages are significantly better than the Twitter ones, which are basically you got a month and then you're on your own. Although, you know, there's still some controversy over the Facebook ones. But, yeah, social media's platforms are nosediving at the moment, it would seem.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some links in the show notes there. But, blimey, to lose so many senior execs, to lose, well, to lose half your workforce, that's pretty damn careless, especially when you go looking for them again afterwards. I don't have the energy reserves to get as angry as I need to about this, because you know, he even said about, you know, I'm being, you know, every single little move I make is being analysed by the media and blah blah blah, says the man who deliberately had himself filmed walking into the Twitter HQ holding a sink in order to let that sink in message. Yeah. You know,
which is a stolen gag anyway. So.
Well, exactly, exactly. And, you know, so for somebody who courts the media to then complain that the media are reporting on his every move, he's good at building space rockets. He's average at building cars, although he's pretty good at, you know, breaking norms. But he's a terrible CEO of Twitter. Terrible. You know, maybe time will prove me wrong, but yeah. He's awful. He thinks because he can put something in space, he can do anything, I think is what it comes down to. And that was this week's somewhat low energy rant of the week.
Rant of the week. You're listening to the award-winning Host Unknown podcast. Officially more entertaining than Smashing Security.
Oh, we might have to fight over this one, Andy, or we could do it together. It's time for this week's Although I do think what's interesting is because Jav's not here, we're actually not going to be talking about a criminal.
Indeed. But, you know, I'll tell you what, if you give the headline for this story.
Okay. Apple limits airdrop in China after its use in protests, which I think is a bit clickbaity myself.
It is, but so this is the story that what so Apple. So if you have an iPhone, you may be aware of the feature called AirDrop, and there have been stories of people, you know, unwittingly receiving pictures while they're on the train or so. You know, it's kind of like I've heard, you know, dick pics get sent on this type of medium, and like, you know, you get spammed with this stuff. But you have the option to receive files from anyone, and it's untraceable. And I think, you know, we covered a story a couple of months back about the guy who sent a picture of a bomb or a plane crashing whilst he was sitting on a plane to all the other passengers, and they were let to disembark and then search, and it's untraceable and all this kind of stuff. I actually, you know, the other day I was in Ireland and I received an unsolicited picture when I was at this food market.
Large zucchini?
It wasn't, no, but it was actually food-based, and it was quite funny. It had a face in it. And it was one of those things where I was, you know, I was trying to play it cool and not look round as if to say, who the hell sent me that? You know, straight away I saw what happened. So I got this airdrop, and I was like, you know, play it off. Yeah, don't look around, don't look interested, don't smile, just like deadpan poker face. But it did make me chuckle inside. But, you know, to me, that's a case of, well, I set my phone to receive stuff from anyone, right? So why not?
That's on
you. So Apple are now, and this feature came out on iOS 16.1.1, so, you know, the recent update. But they didn't mention it in the release notes, and it's only active in China at the moment, but every device has a capability for it. And essentially, if you select your phone to receive files from everyone, it's only going to be valid for 10 minutes at a time. And then it'll switch back to contacts only. And I am not sure how I feel about that. Like, I would prefer if it went to contacts only by default.
Yes, and then you can shift it around.
So I think it's big. I understand what Apple are trying to do, and I do actually applaud them for, you know, creating this type of, you know, extra safety net, because I get I'm not the type of demographic that maybe receives dick pics on a regular on public transport.
No, it's normally when, you know, when you're in your private jet and
Exactly. Yeah, exactly that. I'm kind of on the fence for this one.
So I think if this had this 10-minute limit put in from the outset, well, obviously this would be a non-story, but people wouldn't be taking the same kind of attitude. They wouldn't have, you know, started to use AirDrop and then said, wow, how dare they limit this to 10 minutes? They would have gone, oh, that's quite a sensible thing to put in place, just limiting it to everyone of 10 minutes. The problem here is, and I can absolutely understand it, is it appears that they have caved to pressure from the Chinese government to do this in order to restrict the sharing of information during protests. And that would seem to be the simplest of explanations, but they've implemented this in the latest update and apparently will be turning it on to the rest of the world at some point in the near future, is the last thing that I read anyway. So has this been on their list, on their, you know, their Kanban list of things we will get round to, and then had it driven up the line by the fact that an oppressive regime that actually also happens to buy an awful lot of iPhones has said, hey, can you do this? You know, or have they just acquiesced and tried to cover their tracks by saying, oh no, we're going to do this for everybody now?
Because
it is sensible.
It's almost a rant.
it is almost a rant. But, you know, and I was on a Reddit channel the other day talking about this, and people were saying, this is outrageous. If I want everybody, you know, to be able to send me to AirDrop, that's my choice to do it. And another person was saying, well, what about kids who turn it on to everyone in order to get something done and then don't switch it off and then get sent obscene or predatory material? And so it's, you know, there is no right or wrong answer per se, but I think what it does come down to is the incentive to do it in the first place. And is it because China buys a metric fuck ton of iPhones and therefore they're going to do whatever the Chinese government tell them? Or is it because it was always going to happen, it's just that the plans were sped up?
Good question.
And unfortunately, at the moment, this might shock you, and I'm glad Jav's not on here, but at the moment, I think it's the former. I think they acquiesced to China and are trying to cover their tracks. And the reason for that is I'm seeing the startings of a pattern of behaviour. And I had a brief you know, Twitter chat with a friend of the show, Rowena Fielding, about this, about privacy. And Apple have gone all in on their privacy and advertising restrictions and all that sort of thing, which is great. And it's affected, you know, the earnings of companies like Facebook and Google, but has protected, you know, most people or everybody who owns an iPhone from, again, sort of aggressive advertising, things like that. But in parallel, they've also now amped up and massively increased the volume of Apple ads that you get. So it looked like they were doing this in order to set up a competing business and in order to get more money, which really saddens me. I thought Apple were doing this because they were the bigger company and were doing, as in, you know, ethic and morally wise, bigger, because they wanted to protect their users, not because they wanted to sell them more ads of their own. So, yeah, I'm on a bit of a downer with it with Apple at the moment, I've got to say.
Whatever next.
Billy Big Balls of the Week. This is the Host Unknown Podcast, home of Billy Big Ball Energy.
Well, after all that, I'm completely out of energy, so I'm just going to say, Andy, what time is it?
It is that time of the show where we head over to our news sources over at the InfoSec PA Newswire, who have been very busy bringing us the latest and greatest security news from around the globe.
Industry news.
Medibank refuses to pay ransom after data breach.
Industry news.
Swiss Re, cyber insurance industry must reform.
Industry news.
SEC announces enforcement action for SolarWinds over 2020 hack.
Industry news.
Instagram influencer gets 11 years for money laundering.
Industry news.
Medibank confirms data stolen in breach is now available online.
Industry news.
Couple get 40 years for Navy espionage plot.
Industry news.
Malware redirects 15,000 sites in malicious SEO campaign.
Industry news.
Majority of security managers lack threat intelligence skills.
Industry news.
New Lenovo notebook models affected by UEFI firmware vulnerabilities. Is that how you say it?
Industry news.
And that was this week's
industry news.
Huge, if true.
Huge.
The Medibank one. I like how the week started. We refused to pay the ransom for this and data breach. A couple
of
days later.
How it's going.
Yeah.
I heard the attackers were basically just going for it because, of course, now Medibank have got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
But they were going for it to make an example in order that the next people they attack will just pay up.
So I did hear, I think the same people this morning have announced that they have got Deutsche Bank data. I understand. I think I saw that this morning. It was unconfirmed. But yeah, Deutsche Bank allegedly breached by same access or the same access broker that sold access to Medibank data. They're sort of saying they've got another network access of Deutsche, particular bank, they said. They've got FTP shells, root, SQL injection, database servers. But they've said that, look, you know, EDA of machine to Symantec, you know, the network filters are XYZ. They're saying they've got copies of chats, file servers where 16 terabytes of internal data reside, plus share folders for every user on the network. And they're saying they can provide VDI and VPN of all passwords in a domain dump with domain admin users.
Holy moly.
7.5 Bitcoin, if you want that.
It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. You don't know if it's true, though, do you?
Well, no, but it almost gets to the point, it doesn't matter how much you protect your data or encrypt it or store it or whatever, you get the keys to the kingdom, you're screwed, aren't you?
Yeah. Zero trust, right? That's what we want.
Yeah. Yeah, not just a marketing term anymore.
Yeah.
So this Instagram influencer, this is the chap you were talking about earlier on.
Yeah, so this is, it's a Nigerian guy that used to like always post his like lavish lifestyle on Instagram. But it turns out he was basically just laundering, proceeds of crime. He went by the name Hush Puppy. he was arrested in Dubai and extradited to the US. He conspired with a money launderer and they just did a lot of whole business email compromise schemes and that type of thing. But yeah, I think it's more about the glamour on the other side. Like, it makes such a good story because, there's visuals that go with it.
Yes.
But yeah.
But and this Swiss Re cyber insurance thing, I think we're hearing a lot about cyber insurance needing to change and update and all that sort of thing at the moment.
Yeah.
But I think Lloyd's announced, what was it, from April next year that...
we're not going to underwrite nation state attacks.
Yeah, that's right. Which is not surprising, really, because if you're getting attacked by a nation state, you've either done something really, really wrong... or there's nothing you can do about it anyway.
Well, it's the attribution part, right? Because it's this is what Mondelez. So they got breached. They got ransomware like years back, 2017, I think it was.
Right.
And they went to their insurer, and then the insurer refused to pay out on the basis that it was, I think it was Russian act of war, even though they weren't officially at war. So, the insurer refused to pay out, but they won that case anyway. They literally settled just like 2 weeks ago, like over $100 million, was the claim. They lost like 27,000 laptops during that. It got bricked.
What?
It's a huge, huge event. When it was,
you said 2017?
I think it was 2017 it occurred. Yeah, and they settled the case.
Drunk Tom then. That's what I don't remember. I love this. Majority of security managers lack threat intelligence skills.
Yeah.
One, what defines a security manager? And two, what defines threat intelligence skills? Exactly.
Is there an ISC squared course that you can take for that?
Yeah, probably. Or if not an ISACA one, almost certainly, right?
Yeah.
87% of decision makers rely on threat intelligence, whether they know it or not, often or very often for vulnerability prioritization. I mean, threat intelligence could be something as simple as someone saying, do this one first before that one. I mean, it does seem to be a little bit broad.
Yeah, but it's the headline that sells.
Hey, well, that's what we built our reputation on. Comments on the headline, not the story.
Exactly.
And finally, just because it sounds cool, couple get 40 years for Navy espionage plot. Love it. Love it. 494 months, because I don't know why you'd call it that. After attempting to sell designs for the US Navy's nuclear-powered warships to a foreign power.
There's something more to this story, and I don't know what it is, but the wife got longer than the husband, she was only accused of conspiracy to commit, found guilty of conspiracy. Whereas
this is America, right, where, there is no bodily autonomy for women at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is true.
She
was penalized for being out of the kitchen. I'll read it now. There we go. Good old Republican judge.
Exactly. Right, that was this week's
industry news.
The Host Unknown Podcast, orally delivering the warm and fuzzy feeling you get when you pee yourself.
Right, well, I'm definitely leaving this one to you, Andy, since you have to now describe something visually through the medium of voice alone, which is technically what describing is, I guess. time for this week's...
Tweet of the Week.
And we always play that one twice.
Tweet of the Week.
It is, so I shall take us home with this week's Tweet of the Week. So this is an image of, if you know your memes, you will know Disappointed Muhammad. is part of, who's a cricket fan watching a game, and, it's very famous.
Oh, is that
it's
where he's from, a cricket
fan?
Yeah,
Disappointed Cricket Fan, also known as. And he's sort of standing there, like, unimpressed face, hands on his hips.
He also looks like he should head up a tech company in San Francisco.
Yes, he could. But, yeah, it's one of these sort of reaction images, sometimes known as, Angry Cricket Fan or Disappointed Cricket Fan. But his name's, it's known as Disappointed Muhammad Akhtar. So this is a meme, and it is the picture of that guy, Disappointed Muhammad, and it's captioned, WinRAR, watching you pay $8 for a Twitter blue tick.
The only thing it's missing here, there is $8 a month.
Yeah. Is it actually a month?
It's $8 a month.
Oh, I did not know that. I thought it was
$8. I'm sure it is $8 a month. I'm sure it is.
Yeah. No, but yeah, without taking away, obviously, WinRAR, very useful tool, particularly back in the day. Good guy, WinRAR. Used to always let you use it past its trial period.
Same as WinZip, right?
Yeah, I think Wintip did go a bit more commercial, though, didn't they? When they sort of grew up and realised they were embedded in Big Corps and also supported RAR files, they actually forced you to use them.
I never paid for Winzip, but I do recall the, you know, continue trial or something like that.
Yeah.
Button, swapping sides from left to right in an effort to try and get you to click on buy now or something.
Yeah. We just cracked it.
Yeah.
pre 2007 was a different era.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. That was a good one, and it's so true. It's so true. You know, I mean, well, are you going to get a blue check mark, Andy? You're just going to stick to Mastodon.
sorry, I'm going to stick to what? I shall. I'm not that fussed. I'm happy to change names depending on.
Even if
on
you get
platform.
A Black Friday deal on Twitter.
I don't use Twitter enough. Like, to be honest, I can't remember the last time I posted.
I would also say beforehand, you don't use, you know, before we went live, you don't use Adobe enough.
No, I don't.
Stop you from...
It didn't stop me subscribing for a whole year. No. but I did have full access to the entire creative suite and all of the tools. Illustrator, Premiere, After Effects, the full works. But alas, no, I edited the shit out of those PDF documents.
Is that the sort of flex you put on a dating profile? Have full access to the Adobe Professional Suite.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm a sucker for a good Black Friday deal.
Oh, man. Yeah. Me too. That Amazon Prime Day. Oh, my God. Yes, I need another tea strainer. Shaped like a man or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, that was this week's
Tweet of the Week.
Well, that was very drama free this week, I think, wasn't it?
It is, yeah. Hopefully more upbeat than usual.
Yeah, that's right.
Less confrontation.
Yeah, less of the. I hate you guys. Less of that. Anyway, Andy, thank you so much for this week.
Stay secure, my friends.
Stay secure.
You've been listening to the Host Unknown podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, comment and subscribe. If you hated it, please leave your best insults on our Reddit channel.
Worst episode ever.
r/smashing security.
Epic. I'll leave you to add in those calculator sounds then.
Yeah.
I did struggle with the numbers.
Exactly. Hey, you do the show notes, I'll do the editing. We're cool. I'm not entirely sure what Jav brings to the show, but nonetheless, I think we've got it covered.
Absolutely.